Question. How do we have the mind of Christ? What happens when we have the mind of Christ? Anybody? Philippians 4:6. The Word of God says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." I really love that. Be careful for nothing. The word careful there is talking about having concerns and worrying and being anxious and striving. Be concerned for nothing. Don't worry about anything. You see, in Philippians 4:4, it says, "Relax in the Lord always." And it, again, I say it, relax. The King James translates it as rejoice, but it's not rejoice, it's relax. It says relax. Be careful for nothing. But instead of being worried, in everything by prayer and supplication, and prayer is talking about fellowship. Prayer is talking about fellowship with God. And supplication is what we normally think of as prayer, where we present our petitions to Him. But in prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You know why with thanksgiving? Because with thanksgiving comes with faith. And if we doubt in our heart, then nothing will be given to us. But if we believe that we have our petition, it will be granted to us. So with thanksgiving, believing that we have our petition and thanking Him ahead of time, because we know that as we have asked, so shall we receive. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And what really is the result of that? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You see, if I come to God and make my petition be known, and I don't worry because I know that I have a Savior who can hear me and a God who I can trust, who will give me according to that which I have asked Him because He cares for me, then I will have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And the world will see us and they will not understand why it is that we can have peace. And we may be in a difficult trial or a situation that is very challenging to us, and yet we have peace that passes all understanding because we trust the One who loves our soul. And when we trust Him, we have that peace. And the peace of God will not only be in our hearts, it will also be in our minds. That means when I think, I do not think in anxiety. When I think in trust. And I think in the assurance that comes through faith, because it is the evidence of things hoped for and the conviction of realities unseen. And I have that conviction, I have that persuasion in my heart that things are, albeit I cannot see Him, that things are as I have asked God to make them to be. And when I have that persuasion in my heart, He says that He will answer my prayer. And what does that produce in me? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So what does it mean to have the peace of God in my mind? Well, it simply means that whatsoever things are true. What is it that's true? The finished work is truth. The Word of God is truth. My Word is truth. So whatsoever things are truth, whatsoever things are of the Word of God, I have the doctrines of Christ dwelling in my mind, controlling my thoughts. That is whatsoever things are true. I think with the mind of Christ, because I've received the Word of God and it's imparted His mind to me. So I think with His mind, with His thoughts. His thoughts are my thoughts. And my thoughts are those thoughts which He has imparted to me from the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. whatsoever things are honest. You see, the things that are honest are not the things that are necessarily factual. They are the things that are the finished work. Fact is that I'm a failure. Truth is, honesty is, that I am perfect in Christ. Fact is that I can't do anything of myself. Truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's honest. You see, a lot of Christians think they are being honest by being factual. Maybe they're being honest, maybe not. What is really the fact? The fact is that, like we were talking tonight, He's removed my sins, all my iniquities are gone, all that's left is Him and His righteousness. That's honest. Whatsoever things are just. What is just? Mercy and grace are just. Why are mercy and grace just? Because the justice of God has been fulfilled on the cross and has been imparted to me through His blood. That is just. So whatsoever is mercy and grace and the justice of God imparted through the blood of Christ, making me clean and holy before Him, making me completely spotless and sinless, that is just. And making you the same way, that is just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are clean, whatsoever things are holy. What is clean and holy? The mind of Christ is clean and holy. If you have the mind of Christ, you will not have the mind of the world. If you have the mind of Christ, then the things of the world grow dim, and they grow distant, and eventually they grow so distant they are foreign to us. And to see something that is of the world is to see something that is really quite foreign and strange to us, as though it even came from a different planet, because in fact it came from a different kingdom. And it is foreign. But the mind of Christ and the purity of God, that becomes that which is mine, that which belongs. And that becomes that which I am a part of, and it is a part of me. So whatsoever things are lovely. We have a Savior who is altogether lovely. The heart of God, that is lovely. The thing that is made of love, the thing that is made of God's attitude, of God's character and God's nature, that is lovely. So whatsoever is according to His nature and His character and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, whatsoever is according to those things, that is lovely. And I think on them. Whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are of the finished work gospel of Christ, whatsoever things are of the finished work position of the believer, whatsoever things are the finished work position of me, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are according to the gospel of the good news of Christ, whatsoever things are of what God has done for us, the things that build faith in our souls, those are the things of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any of the nature and the power and impartation of Christ in those things, if there be anything of Christ that can be imparted and bring life, just like the woman who came and she touched His hem, the hem of His garment, and virtue came out of Him. Whatever it is that is of the nature of God that will soothe and heal and that will comfort the soul, that is the virtue of God. If there be any of the virtue of God. And if there be any praise, God inhabits the praises of His people. If there be anything that has God's presence in it, if there be anything that God can inhabit and call it His own in me, and there is. You see, He's given me a new mind and He's given me a new heart. He's given me a new life. He's given me a new position. He's cleansed me with His blood. There is plenty of praise. Whatsoever be of praise. Whatsoever be of the position that I have before Him as I fellowship with Him in my heart, as His Spirit imparts to my spirit, and that imparts life to my soul. Whatsoever things imparts that life, those are the things of praise. Think on these things. Meditate on them, dwell on them, masticate them, chew on them, digest them in your heart. Let them become a part of you. Let them nourish you. Let them impart God's life to you. Think on them. Worship Him in those things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the love of peace, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, what is he talking about here? Paul's talking about the things that were learned of him. And who was he? He was their pastor. When the man of God preaches the word of God, and it has to be the word of God, not every man preaches the word of God. But when the man of God preaches the word of God, think on these things. Dwell on them, meditate on them, receive them as your own, let them transform your heart. As a matter of fact, let them enter into you and change who you are. Because if it is the man of God and if it is the word of God, it will become the life of God in you. And it will produce that trust in God which will cause you to relax in all things, always, and simply to relax. And why can I relax? Because the Savior has done it. Because the plan is in place, it is perfect. His righteousness has taken care of me. His grace has taken care of my life. His mercy has taken care of my failures. And I can simply relax and I can walk with Him in full assurance and full confidence that He is for me. And who can come against me if God is for me? Is there any weapon, is there anything, is there any person who can come against me if God is for me? I'll never forget from the first Gulf War, the soldiers in the barracks, and the Scud missile was sent at that barracks, and God told one of the soldiers gave us to Snowy. God said, take a walk. And what happened when that soldier took a walk? Scud missile landed on the barracks. That weapon could not prosper against him because he belonged to the Savior. And the Savior saved him. You see, we think of salvation as only of our souls. No, the salvation is of our everyday experience. Salvation is our deliverance from all things. Whether they be temporal or spiritual, salvation is from all things. Who can come against me if God is for me? What weapon can prosper if God is for me? No weapon, nothing, no one. It doesn't matter if it's an angel or if it's a demon or whatever. No one can come against me if God is for me. Why? Because I've been purchased with a price and I belong to the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain for me, to buy me. And that was the price for my life. And that was the price of my redemption. With that price I was purchased and I am now owned by God. My life is not my own. It belongs to God. He bought it. And if God owns me, then what can come against me? I am not only His child, but I am His possession. What can come against me if God owns me? Nothing. Nothing, no one, nothing. No weapon can prosper. Never forget, a friend of mine was soul winning. He walked into a crack house one time. A bunch of drug addicts were sitting around and he started preaching to them the gospel. And one of them got up to belt him. And he drew his arm back and he couldn't move his arm. And he stayed that way. And he said to my friend, if I could, I would hit you, but I can't move my arm. No weapon formed against you can prosper. There's soldiers from Iraq who gave testimonies, Christian soldiers. They were being shot at, but the bullets moved out of their way as they were being shot at. No weapon formed against them could prosper. We have been bought with a price. We are owned by God. We are protected by God. We have His protection. We have the full protection of the all-powerful King. We have both His authority and His power on our side. I don't care if you are facing an army alone, you are outnumbering them. Just like the Israelis did with the Egyptians when they were in the Sinai, and the tanks of the Egyptians were lined up and they were so outnumbered, and the Egyptian soldiers got out of the tanks and ran away. And when they were asked about it, they said they saw angels above the Israeli tanks, a hot army of angels. And they were afraid, because God came to deliver them, and He will deliver us also. I know a woman who's a doctor, a beautiful Christian. She was working in Baltimore City in an emergency room one night, and she got some psychopath coming in. He was demonic. I think he might have been possessed. And he says, "Sir, I'm going to kill you." And she says, "That may be your intention, but look around you." And God opened his eyes, and there were these angels everywhere. No weapon formed against her could prosper. The man ran away. She said to him before he ran, "You may try to kill me, but if you do, by the end of the evening, you'll be dead." And he saw the angels around her, and he ran away. There was a nurse working at Johns Hopkins Hospital a number of years ago. There was a rapist in the area, and there was a guy in the parking garage there darting behind the cars. And then he ran away, and the police that night arrested him. And they asked for people who had been in the area if they could come and see if they could identify with this man. And she came and she identified him as the man who was in the parking lot. And she got the opportunity to ask him, "Why didn't you do anything? Why did you just run?" I mean, she was thankful, but what made you run away? And he said, "Lady, that was the biggest man I ever saw standing next to you. There was nobody next to him. She was there alone. No weapon formed against you can prosper." Remember when I was first married, we got a house in Baltimore City, and top floor of our old house, and our bottom floor neighbor didn't much like us, so he started lying to the landlord about us. The landlord called his old landlord. Turned out this guy was a lot of trouble. He tried to get us evicted, and he got evicted. No weapon formed against you can prosper. I don't care how small the detail, and I don't care how great. No weapon formed against you can prosper. What is great or small to God anyway? I mean, He's so much bigger than everything. What is great and what is small? To us it appears great or small because we look at it through natural reasoning. But to Him, nothing is great or small. So what happens? So we can relax. And in all things, relax. Why? Because God is for you. He is not against you. He is for you. He knows the thoughts that He has. Those are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end, to give us that end which we desire of Him. Those are His thoughts. That is His heart. That is His ambition. That is His aim, to give us those thoughts, to give us that love that He has for us, to give us our petitions, to give us the answers to our prayers, to give us the protection that we need, to give us the provisions that we need. And I don't care if you don't have a paycheck coming into your house, or if you look like you're going to completely bomb your class or what. Doesn't make any difference. No weapon can prosper that has been formed against you. Not one. None. Zero. If God is for you, who can be against you? No one. Nobody can be against you. Why? Because the all-powerful creator of the universe is for you. And He is before you, and He is behind you, and He is on every side. He is above you, and He is below you, and He is in you. Tell me, what is it that can prosper? Can your own condemnation against you prosper? Well, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. So what weapon formed against you can prosper? There have been stories of soldiers and the like who had a gun pointed to their heads, and the trigger was pulled and nothing happened. But the gun was perfectly functional. They pointed somewhere else, it shot. They pointed at their head, nothing happened. Pointed somewhere else, it shot. Pointed at their head, nothing happened. No weapon formed against you can prosper. No, I don't care if it's spiritual, I don't care if it's temporal, I don't care what it is. No weapon can prosper. Nothing. What's the situation? How hard does it look? How bad does it look? Is it illness? It can't prosper. Remember, the valley of the shadow of death is a valley of shadows. It's not a valley of death. It's just shadows. It cannot prosper. It is a shadow. I'm not afraid of my shadow. And you know what? I'm not afraid of your shadow either. Shadows can't hurt me. as a believer, I cannot experience death. And shadows can't hurt me. So why not just relax? Because in chapter 4, verse 4 of Philippians, it says, on all things, relax. So relax. Think on those things that are of God. Trust Him and relax.